This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX, and because we like to pay attention to what's happening globally, as we do as often as we possibly can on this show, we thought that it would be a good opportunity today to check in on the ceasefire talks that are happening or not happening between Russia and Ukraine, also Israel and Hamas. They have a ceasefire that has been broken. So we'll get into all of that with retired Lieutenant General Richard Newton, former U.S. Air Force Assistant Vice Chief of Staff, and a senior national security contributor for News Nation. And we've got the retired Lieutenant General with us now on KMOX. General Newton, good to talk to you. How are you?
Well, good morning. Good to be with you. I'm calling in from, actually live down here in Jupiter, Florida. So St. Louis Cardinal ball caps around town for the last couple of weeks, and I've been watching closely spring training. So baseball's about ready to kick off, and I'm excited, as I'm sure many of your listeners are as well.
Are they behaving, those red baseball caps?
They behave every year. Yep, we go out to Roger Dean Stadium quite a bit, but it's always good to have the fans come down to kick off spring training, knowing that, again, baseball is just around the corner. So all good.
Well, General, we should have you join our show, The Gas House Gang, which is all about Cardinals baseball. You could
That's right.
A special correspondent for Cardinals baseball.
Well, I'd be delighted to. in fact, that's how I got to the Air Force Academy. I was recruited to play ball there.
Really?
But they don't need me anymore, nor does any Major League Baseball team need me at all. But I'm a big baseball enthusiast and got to know quite a few of the big leaguers around town, so especially the retired baseball players who find their home now down here in South Florida.
I don't know. I do think it'd probably be a nice addition to your title, senior national security contributor and baseball contributor.
Yeah, and if you need a middle reliever, for two pitches in the seventh inning, call on Dick Newton. How's that?
Oh, I bet you could get outs, and we could use the help.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I've got a lot of close friends are Cardinal fans, so I know you're needing some arms like a lot of other ball clubs.
That's right. Well, getting down to business then. Yesterday, President Trump spoke with Russian President Vladimir Putin about halting attacks on energy facilities, and it seems that they came to an agreement after a lengthy phone call. However, hours after that phone call, both Russia and Ukraine accused one another of launching airstrikes on infrastructure sites. So what do we know about that phone call and whether or not each country really did keep attacking infrastructure?
Yeah, it really, President Trump's call with Putin yesterday, it was 90 minutes, by the way, in the White House. It really does signal what the Wall Street Journal refers to. It's going to be a long road ahead to any Russia-Ukraine deal. And let's put into context the deals that are trying to be played here. One is, first, just to come up with a ceasefire, a temporary ceasefire, say, for 30 days, and then follow on that with a long-term peace agreement that would, as President Trump has effectively said, you know, of an unwinnable war, and I would agree with that, and really, frankly, just stop the killing on both sides. But what came out of yesterday was essentially Putin agreeing to a somewhat of a limited ceasefire, what we call a partial ceasefire in diplomatic parlance, that would call for a halt on attacks from both Russia and Ukraine on their energy infrastructure. Then you turn around overnight, there are now dueling accusations that have both come true since the phone call yesterday. And President Zelensky of Ukraine effectively reported that there were 145 Russian drone attacks, several cruise missile attacks, even ballistic missile attacks against Ukrainian oil and electric grid infrastructure overnight. And then Ukraine also countered that and attacked Russian oil infrastructure in the southern part of Russia. So things are starting slow out of the gate. At least we've got conversations and discussions. My final point is President Trump has had a follow-up call with President Zelensky earlier today for about an hour to give him some feedback on that call he had with Putin. So lots happening. My expectations, I'm an optimistic kind of person, but a realist also. So I'm holding my breath on expectations here, but at least there's discussions and conversations that are going on moving forward.
Trump said the call with Zelensky was very good. So do we know exactly how well it went?
No, we don't. My sources, I don't have a readout either. Again, I'm 1,200 miles away from Washington, D.C., down here in South Florida. But I think it's, you're going to see moving forward, what I anticipate is you'll see negotiating teams from both the United States and Russia meet likely in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, in the next week or so. I think you'll also see the United States as well as Ukrainian negotiating teams meeting separately. I don't know if they'll meet in Saudi at this point, but they'll be what we call dual tracks, one United States with Russia and the other United States with Ukraine. I've negotiated with the Russians before. They're hard-nosed. They cannot be trusted, frankly. As President Reagan say, any negotiated settlement you get with the Russians or any adversary for that matter, you got to trust but verify to some point. But this is a long haul. This is going to take, this isn't within arm's reach, say, of weeks, likely months through 2025.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
General Newton, that is exactly where I wanted to go with this, that it seems that dealing with Vladimir Putin is, and the Ukrainians are very skeptical of any deal he says that he will agree to. First of all, he doesn't want to concede much. It looks like that. And then if he does, going back on his word seems like the most likely thing to happen. So how do you negotiate with somebody who is not trustworthy?
Well, first off, his demands have actually increased. I'll give you a quick lineup of what they look like. First off, he wants to completely or nearly demilitarize Ukraine, their military forces. He's not agreeing to a good proposal, by the way, that came out of the United Kingdom and Europe of providing a peacekeeping force in Ukraine should a peace agreement be settled. That would be up to 30,000 European peacekeeping troops. That's a good move, but Putin is not going to, starting off, he does not want that to happen. He's actually asking and demanding more land than he already took all the way back to 2014 when he took Crimea in the south, as well as most recently after that brutal attack, the largest invasion, if I may, since World War II, when Putin attacked Ukraine back in February of 2022. He's insisting Ukraine not become a member of NATO. All the while, he's again this whole idea of demilitarizing Ukraine, but no European peacekeeping force. All the while, with the backdrop of asking for more territory ceded by Ukraine, and then finally, he's insisting that the sanctions that President Trump has effectively laid on Russia over the last several weeks, he wants those lifted, and those sanctions are principally based on the export of oil and gas from Russia to a variety of European customers, if you will. So a lot to unpack here, but that's really what I think you're going to see is a very hard-nosed Putin while he tries to maintain the offensive in this war of attrition that's been ensuing for the last several months, if not a couple of years, where Ukraine is now on the defensive.
Yeah, I know, my goodness, now we were talking about this a year ago, but Vladimir Putin is a dictator, an autocrat. He wants to, I'm sure, rebuild the Soviet Union. He considers the fall of the Soviet Union one of the greatest travesties in human history. So he started this war. How much does his ego and feeling like he cannot surrender at all, he cannot give an inch because that would be a loss for him, how much is that going to stop him from agreeing to anything?
Well, first off, let me add another term to your list of Putin. He's also a war criminal,
mm-hmm.
Attacking civilian targets in the heinous way that the Russian army has moved, tried to move through, although valiantly defended by Ukraine and President Zelensky. But his goal is to drag things out because he wants to, you know, put Ukraine in an untenable position where they have to make peace. But again, here's what I believe is going to happen is I think you're going to see Putin being, again, staying on the offensive, not only militarily, but diplomatically, as we've kind of seen over the last several hours after that phone call with President Trump. Let me also put into context here. I want to get back to topic, though. We're really, in terms of the peace negotiations or the ceasefire, to take a baseball vernacular, we're really in spring training right now. And so we've got several games away and moves and steps and wins and losses, if you will, from a U.S. national security perspective and from a Ukraine perspective in Europe before we get to a culminating point in the next several months. Okay, got it. But really, the thing that I believe President Trump has effectively tried to put into play and will put into play, and one leverage we do have is to leverage the economic mess that Putin finds himself in with regard to sanctions that President Trump has begun to levy, the enforcement of those sanctions, especially against oil and gas revenues for President Putin, as well as, again, marshaling, I think now, strong U.S. leadership since that tumultuous Oval Office meeting he had with President Zelensky back on February 28th. So there is some momentum on our side. We would anticipate, and you can expect Putin to play hardball, but he has cards. President Trump has cards. Now it's a matter of seeing how they follow through with that.
retired Lieutenant General Richard Newton. Before we let you go, I did want to ask you about what's going on in Israel. The past couple of days, Israel has conducted more airstrikes, and then the Wall Street Journal reporting that Israel has sent ground troops into the center and south of the Gaza Strip. What do you make of, where are we with this conflict right now? Hamas, not surprisingly, as a terrorist organization, breaking its promises, not releasing hostages, and Israel continuing to push forward.
Again, going back to October 7th, that heinous attack, that brutal attack on Israel and innocent civilians, Hamas took 251 hostages by design so they would be in a position to hold some cards, if you will, of still hanging on to these hostages in order for their own survival. Here's the bottom line. Hamas has been given every opportunity to release the remaining 59 hostages. 35 of them are dead, 24 alive. One of them happens to be American. Four of the dead also are Americans. The two-month ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is absolutely over. Israel and the United States, having waited for Hamas somewhat patiently to release those 59 hostages, the gloves are off. President Trump is strongly backing Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel. That's a very good thing. Meanwhile, Hamas has rearmed. They've recruited up to hundreds, if not thousands, of new terrorist fighters from the Palestinian people. They're scavenging explosive, unexploded ordnance on the battlefield. And they have indicated that they're going to attack Israel again. That's why Israel has acted with the air attack a couple evenings or so ago. And now you're seeing Israeli defense forces, as I can report, in Gaza now, back in Gaza. And Israel is striving to retake that Netzarim corridor, which, again, that separates north and south Gaza. They need to do so in order to quell any type of additional uprising by Hamas and to compel them, either through the peace negotiating table or by brute force, to, again, release those hostages. That's the bottom line. Second point is in my view, and I would support Prime Minister Netanyahu here, has to continue to strive to destroy Hamas, because they will try to rise again and attack Israel like we saw back on October 7th. Final point. All roads lead back to Iran. And to put into context for our listeners here, Iran, bottom line, is still trying to destroy Israel. They're trying to prevent the United States from maintaining our national security interests in the region. Finally, they're trying to acquire, develop, and then they would employ a nuclear weapon. If that happens, if they get their hands on a nuclear weapon, all bets are off in terms of Mideast, U.S. national security interests. President Trump's not going to allow them to do that, nor would Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Retired Lieutenant General Richard Newton, we appreciate your time. Thank you for talking with us today.
Delighted, and hope we get to speak again.
We will.
Go Cardinals.
Yeah, you're in.
Absolutely, you're in.
You're in the mix now.
Okay.
In fact, you're required, so.
I think you're going to come to regret this, but we're excited.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
We got plenty of baseball. We got great minor league baseball down here also.
Awesome. Enjoy it. Thank you, General.
Thank you, sir.
General Newton is the senior national security contributor to News Nation with us here on KMOX.